Welcome, and I'm Andrew Richardson. And as you listen to the second understanding and diagnosis audio, and I hope a number of times, you will be able to put some flesh on the bones of how and why your addiction has taken hold. How has it taken over, and how should you approach the task of freeing yourself? And please do not listen while driving or anything like that. You will, I hope, have already identified with the cuckoo metaphor of the first audio. Do you recall it? That your addiction is like a cuckoo in a nest, very demanding and driving out much else that is actually worthwhile in your life. Is that your experience? And if so, you will know that your life is not working, however hard you try. And of course, that is an absolute killer for your self-confidence. And so you will feel even more lost, sinking deeper and deeper, and without what you need to pull yourself out. To get us started, let's introduce the two key considerations for your recovery. Not necessarily right now to have the answers completely sorted, but to get you thinking differently. The first is for you to get a better idea of where the gaps are in your life and an understanding of the small steps you can take that can move you in the right direction. And maybe even the big picture of the life you seek, even if this picture is somewhat hazy right now. And the second consideration is to give better appreciation of the triggers for your addictive behaviours. And I'm not just talking about the events and circumstances and temptations that tend to lead to the addictive behaviour, but also what you tell yourself to explain and justify to yourself why you keep doing it. And there is another aspect to this triggers story, which is to understand the nature of your relationship to the addiction through your life. How were the addictive behaviours being fed by other stressors? And in particular, to understand the times when your life was really not working very well. This is a big agenda, so you must take your time. Appreciate what you may be learning and understanding that will be put a very different gloss on things that truly builds hope. And so by the end, especially if you listen to both this audio and the first audio a number of times over days, if not weeks, you will be beginning to see how you can get over the addiction, because you will understand much more of the part it plays in the fabric of your life and how it works to insinuate itself. I will begin by introducing you to your essential emotional needs. These are the needs that we must all have well met in our lives, because your emotional needs are as essential as your physical needs. Without food and shelter, you will die, and getting emotional needs met is as important. And for sure, by being addicted, there will be unmet needs in your life, either unmet needs that led you to your addiction in the first place, as you attempted to protect yourself or medicate yourself or distract yourself from the stress of life, where they were big gaps of unmet needs, or right now, where your unbalanced and addicted life is helping to keep you trapped in behaviours and habits that you know are not good for you. So what should we be looking for? How best can you evaluate your life, and particularly, can you identify the gaps and deficiencies in your life right now? This is going to the heart of the human givens approach, which understands that we all have essential human needs that must be met in a balanced way to remain emotionally and mentally healthy, and to free from addictions and depressions and the like. And if there are gaps and deficiencies, then the consequences will be to feed addictive behaviours, or depressions, or anxieties, and so on, which then leads to a life that with even less needs met, and so it goes on. This is the vicious cycle of mental illness. My guess is that you will be very familiar with it as you struggle with your addiction. So we need security and safety. This is the basic and essential first step towards a life that works. We also need a sense of autonomy and control, which will be largely absent for you right now. Yes? We need to be part of a wider community. Now, it could be that this need is being met to some degree by your addiction, so you are well ensconced in a community of users. But in other ways, the addiction is likely to be doing exactly the opposite, keeping you well away from worthwhile and healthy human connections. Whether this is because you are shamed by your addiction, or whether your addiction takes so much of your time, or whether friends and family are shunning you in some way. We also have a need to give and receive attention. Attention is how we learn about the world and absorb what we need, and how we test out what will work for us. Just think of a small child. She is watching like a hawk. It is how she learns. And as we grow up, we should be giving and receiving attention with as wide a group of people as possible. And for sure, we should not be spending all our time either alone or always with the same people who are just like us. And we all need, yes, need, not just want, friendship, fun, love, and intimacy. Could you do much better? I thought so. And we need to be active and working, to be making a contribution, to be stretching ourselves for a sense of status and achievement, for a sense of meaning, no less. And that will be a big gap for you, I have a little doubt. And you can see the self-feeding vicious cycle. A life that is not working keeps you addicted, which in turn feeds into that inadequately functioning life where essential needs are unmet. You get the picture. Well, let's summarize. These needs boil down to three sets. The first is about safety and privacy and the appropriate degree of control over important aspects of our life. A second is about the essential need we all have for relationships, intimacy, close connection to family, friends, work colleagues, perhaps, and wider groups. And the third set of needs is about the work and activity we undertake. Does it stretch us, satisfy us, give us a sense of status and achievement? And the point is, you know all this instinctively. And the fact that there are gaps and imbalances is feeding your anxiety and stress and keeping you stuck. Addictions can only flourish if lives are not working and needs are not being met. The US Army found out very clearly when they followed the lives of the drug-addicted Vietnam vets as they returned to their previous lives. Those who returned to families and jobs and balanced lives stopped the drug. Just like that. And if you think about the power of your addiction through your life, it will have varied in its power. It will have been stronger the less your essential emotional needs are being met at that time, won't it? So you can check that out. What I want you to do is to take a piece of paper and draw a straight line across it horizontally. And write out on that line, that timeline, that comprises your life to date, in decades if you are quite old, or in 5 year slices or less if you are still young, and then draw a wavy line on the paper, which denotes how your relationship with your addiction has varied over your time, lifetime, when the addiction was absent, for sure in the first decade of your life, and when it was there but quite weak, and when it was stronger, and when the line moved up to the top of the page. And what do you notice as you look at this line and think about your life at the times when the line was low on the page, no addiction then, or one that was very weak, and when the line shifted to rising or falling, And also when it was high on the page, the addiction was powerful then. You may find that your life was working better in terms of getting those essential needs met for security, relationships and work when the line is low, and that when the line is high on the page, well, then needs were not being met well. And indeed, the addiction was probably squeezing out your capacity to get these needs met. This is very important to realize this clearly. And consider those times in your life when the line is rising or falling. What changed at that time for you? And at the time in your life when the line is rising, can you recall the stress and pressures you were under? And why you were under that pressure? And how the addiction found a fruitful place to then grow? And you might spot an association in your life at one of those times when the line began to rise that can explain to you why that addiction seemed to provide the answer. Perhaps then the coke or the drinking or the gambling or the internet porn or the shopping or the cannabis did seem to give you relief because there was friendship or engagement and action or feelings of being in control that came with it that you lacked at that time. Or it seemed to deal with your overwhelming anxiety or lack of confidence. Well, at least for a time it seemed to. I have another question for you as you delve into your past, and it concerns the story you tell yourself of your life. The truth is that we all have that story, which of course is unique to us. Only we have actually lived our life and have experienced it directly. But, and it is a big but, how complete is your story? Or are there big gaps? What I mean is there a nice progression or narrative to your story where you have moved on and put the very hard parts of your life in their place? Or is your life story incoherent, a bit of a mystery, neither a progression nor a decent narrative, or indeed anything that makes much sense, that you have been the main author of this story? Or let me put it this way, do you see your life story as positive and moving forward with you mainly in control, or are you passive and reactive, having to deal as best you can with what life is throwing at you and never really understanding very much about the why and how of it all? My guess is that you feel much like this, that your life story is not one that has much continuity and with big gaps. If so, we will begin to shift that as we proceed through these audios. And to begin with, here is something for you to think about. Close your eyes if you have not already, and let your mind review what we have been learning around that cuckoo and those needs, and how well your life has worked for you from time to time, and that story of your life, the gaps that are there, for one thing. 10. I'm counting down. 9. And with each countdown, you can just deepen down. 8. 7, 6, 5, 4, deepening down now, relaxing, 3, 2, that's nice, 1. Just take your mind back to your childhood years, before the age of, say, 12 or 13, though it might include your teenage years, and pick up on something that definitely was not right. It might be arguments between your parents, the fact that either your mom or dad was drunk a lot of the time and moody and maybe violent? Did you have to walk on eggshells? Or maybe you were left alone for large amounts of time? Was school an escape for you, or where the pressures were at their greatest? Bullying, humiliation, isolation. Or were you sent away to school and were unhappy, but somehow or other had to cope as best you could? You felt out of control, unheard, with no voice. Then consider this. Looking back, how did you deal with it? This massive lack, in a way being starved, what was your strategy for coping with it? Did you hide away in your room and retreat into fantasy and imagination? Or anger and resentment? Did you escape to your friends and their parents? Did you go wild and out of control, perhaps? Do you feel that as a result you harbour fears, angers and a chronic lack of confidence, even though this all happened many years ago? That in some sense you are still that young boy or girl? Or maybe there was a big moment in your early life that changed everything. Moving house, moving school, your parents separating, someone very important who dies, an event of abuse or pain or illness. Can you begin to see the story? And where does the addiction fit in? What problem was it designed to solve? And where are you now? Is it like being stuck in a deep trench that only those present moment is visible? Is so much of your past lost, and so that exercise we have just done could have been hard work? And is the same true of the future? Is that hidden and impossible to see at all clearly? A future where your addiction plays no part? How clear is that? Is much more work needed on that? So this is a process. We are taking our time. And so all I want you to do right now is just think for a moment about the small steps that you could take now, practically, that might move you a little bit in the right direction. What small steps could you take that might shift you along right now? And they can be tiny steps, because we know that every journey, however long, has to begin with that first step. You could think about a friend or a family member you have not spoken to for some time. Call them or send an email or another message. Do something physical, go for a walk in the park or just down the road. Spend time reading the local newspaper, not something you might normally do. What interests you about what is happening? What might you do? Check out some of the unusual hobbies and activity websites and notice what takes your fancy. Buy a gift for someone. And you cook a meal, but not your normal one. Make it healthy. Try a new recipe. How easy would it be? We will be returning to all of this later, but start right now. It's like dipping your toes in the water, and right now the water need only be up to your ankles. You'll begin to see that future sketched out. Can you see a project? What do you need? The kind of partner you need? And one final thing you can do now, it is to get your head around where you are right now, and more importantly, begin to see that you can move. Right, I'm going to count back down now. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We will leave it there. I want you to listen to this again and again, and so it will begin to become clearer. Thank you.